And
you know, coming in, I was thinking of you know, Thanksgiving, and planning to do a Thanksgiving sermon. And I started working on it, and I, you know, I let my wife know ahead of time so she can try to line the songs up with all of that. And it's just one of those things that I was thinking about Thanksgiving. But my heart kept going slightly in a different direction, because while many of us celebrate time with family and good food, and we see these holiday season as a joyous time, I know over the years I've met more and more people that the holidays aren't always so happy. We have a friend of ours that, I think it's her brother, was killed at Christmas. And so she always talked about how when everyone else is just so joyful and so happy, for her that's a time of great sorrow. And we sort of picture that Rockwell type of Thanksgiving, you know, with a perfect turkey and the family all gathered around, and we're seeing those things. Now, I grew up mostly away from family. My family, extended family, was out in Minnesota, and I was, you know, here with my parents in Maine. And so we didn't grow up with many extended family celebrations. And so it was just many times just my family. And I looked at those, you know, those of you who have grandparents and cousins and all these things to all get together. I remember one year, I don't think it was for the holidays, but we were together out in Minnesota, and my oldest was just probably about my daughter's age. And she came in the room, and she's like, Dad. She was so excited. I said, what? She goes, I just found out everyone in the other room's related to me. And she didn't realize she had cousins and uncles and aunts, and she had all, because we, once again, after, you know, I got married, I stayed with my wife here in Maine. That's kind of how it works. And so we often have opportunities to get together with all the family. And so I always became sort of jealous of some of you who have those extended family get-togethers. You can say, well, Pastor, you're not missing much. I'll let you judge that. I'm not going to get into that. But we have all this idealistic ideas, especially of the holidays. And we forget that sometimes this is probably what it's more like. Sort of the clashes and fights. And I've already been told that we're going down to my sister-in-law's with her family, and I was told there's certain topics that I'm not allowed to discuss. And so it's like, I always tell, I don't start it. I really don't. And I often do better than I thought, but I've been warned not to stir the pot. And some of you are in that same boat, you know, and you can pick your topic. I don't care what it is. And sometimes it's just old issues. I always found it amazing, sometimes it's family, that, man, we love to dig up dirt that's like 30 years old. I mean, it's. Do you remember when I was 5 years old and you hit me with a rock? I'm like, what? You know, it's like, right? I mean, it's funny how family brings that out in us. But in the midst of it, too, I think, not just the family thing, but there are many people who this time of year reminds them of maybe what they don't have. And maybe, you know, everyone's talking about Thanksgiving and giving thanks. It's hard because maybe you've had struggles. Maybe health struggles. Maybe it's family struggles. Maybe it's loss. And so maybe going into this holiday, things are a little bit different. Or maybe it's been that way for a while for you. And so it's interesting, as I was going through, you know, my goal is, okay, I want Thanksgiving, you know, I actually thought about having everyone give testimonies and all that, of things to be thankful for. And yet the Lord kept tugging me in this other direction. And so I just have to believe that there's someone here that the Lord is going to speak to you in this message. You're here for a reason, and maybe this is the message just for you. And I pray you pay attention to that. The rest of you can tune out. You got your phones. You can watch YouTube. You can listen to a better preacher. But some of you, and maybe, you know, at this point now we're online, and maybe someone's tuning in right now, that this is the message that they need to hear. Because in the middle of all this, we have a God who gives us songs in the night. When things are difficult, when things are hard. As Christians, we were talking about this in Sunday school, that we're not exempt from bad things. But in the middle of the bad things, we have an awesome God who's with us through them all. That the Bible talks about darkness. And we are surrounded by darkness. I can't help but stop and think about in this world and some of what's going on, I feel like some very dark things are happening. And there's dark influences around us. And I think, I think we're still reeling from COVID, and we're still reeling from all of that, the fear and what's going on. You know, it seems like every week we're praying for someone who's in the hospital with COVID or following something that's going on with someone, and it's just hard. Things are just harder. I was talking to someone the other day, and I said, I can't help but feel the last year and a half is kind of like trying to walk against the tide. You know, all this pressure seems to be against, and you're still trying to press forward. And the Bible tells us that, look, even though we are surrounded by darkness, we're not filled with darkness. We have light. And we can have a hope in the midst of all this. And we have a song in our heart in the night. Paul kind of encourages the Corinthians this way. He says, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. And this is what's going on in this world today. Because of Jesus Christ, I am glad I have a hope in the middle of all of this. That when I'm lonely, I know I have a God who will never leave me nor forsake me. A friend who sticks closer than a brother. His faithfulness. Jesus encourages us with this. As these things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I should just glue this on the top of my TV as I'm watching the news. Greater is in he that is in me than he that is in the world. Every once in a while, I need to take a peek at the end of the book and remind myself that Jesus wins. And we can be on the winning side if we are faithful in the night. But we often feel that crush, we feel that weight upon us in all these things. And I don't want to take away from that. I think sometimes as Christians, sometimes we feel we can't say anything because people say, well, where's your faith? Where's your lack of faith? Because, folks, the struggle is real. The emotion is real. The question is, what do we do with that? I want to encourage you, when we can't see where we're going, we can't see the end. I remember, you know, you used to always joke around and said, you ever feel like, you know, the light at the end of a tunnel is the semi-truck coming your way. But sometimes we don't even feel the end of the tunnel. Sometimes we don't see the light at the end. What do we do then? The Bible tells us that he gives us songs in the night. The psalmist says it this way. He says, and the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. Right? When we live in the light, when we see things are being well done, we have blessings. When we see these things come down to us and we are encouraged, right? And it's easy to say, Lord, I see your loving kindness when it's daylight. But what about when it's night? I remember when my stepfather passed away, and you know, touching base with my mom, I asked her how she was doing, and she goes, "I'm fine during the day, because during the day I can keep busy, I have friends, I have all those." But she goes, "The hardest thing is the nights." And Christian, how do we behave when the night comes? And the psalmist says this, "And in the night his song shall be with me, and a prayer to the God of my life." The song that he puts it within our heart. Sometimes we don't even have the words to say. And I find it interesting because I'm not a musical person. Anyone who has heard me knows that. You know, I'm not a guy who typically gets in the car and turns on the radio. The ladies in my life are very musical. I'll get in the car after my wife has driven it. And she just blasts. I think she thinks she's like 16. Get in the car and the radio's just blasting. You know, Christian music, but it's just blaring. She gets in there and I remember, you know, don't tell her I said all this because, but she's like, you know, that Camry, he's got a pretty good stereo system. She's going to blast out the stereo. You know. Because I've always been kind of a nerdy guy. I was a guy who kind of listened to preaching and talk radio. Even in high school, I had an AM, you know, here I was, my friends would get in the car with me, and I had the talk radio back in AM. Remember AM channels? You know, it's my friends would get in and say, "What's wrong with you?" Because I'm not very musical. But never underestimate the power of song. Because sometimes God has enabled these psalms and these songs to say the words that we can't express. And in here, I love this how he says it. These are prayers of my God. And so when I don't know what to do, I don't know where to go, we can sing in the darkness. Psalm 77 says this, "And a call to remembrance, my song in the night. And I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search." In the darkness, when I feel like I'm hopeless, through song, I can have melodies in my heart. And music is an amazing thing, how it changes us. It can amplify ourselves. And God uses these things. And I believe music is a gift from God. Now, you can say, "Well, I can't sing." Well, I'm with you on that. Actually, I've wondered, maybe we'll all get to heaven and find out you all sing wrong and I'm right. Maybe I'm really on tune. I don't think so. But the Bible says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." It's not the quality of our voice. It's singing from the heart. And how it can change our tone and change our attitude as we meditate these things. And music, and like I said, I'm not very musical. I've never been musical. And yet, in all of these things, I can't help but have these songs that, because I grew up in church. I grew up listening to the old hymns. And they are in here. Can I say something without being judged? Probably not. I don't like Southern gospel. But you know what? I remember saying that once, and someone says, "You're a pastor, but oftentimes when you quote songs, it's Southern gospel. It's my mom's fault, because she had it on. And it got in here. And there are songs that God brings to mind." And I'm not, so those of you who have any musical, you know what I'm talking about. It's in there. And there are songs that will play that I don't even remember remembering, and yet I'm singing the words because God's word has taken that and hid it in my heart. And it's a gift in the darkness that we can sing these songs and lift up our voices to Him, whether we're alone or in a crowd. Let me give you an example in the book of Acts. Paul and Silas were arrested. And let's see what happens. It says, "Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them in the prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. And having received such a charge, he put them in a prison and fastened their feet with shackles." It was a dark night. Paul and Silas were doing God's will. They were doing what God wanted them to do. And yet the crowd turned on them. They were beaten and bruised and handcuffed and foot cuffed. Is that a thing? And they're put in shackles and thrown into the prison. And they had every right to say, "Woe is me," in that dark night. They could have let despair take over in that dark night. Yet about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. The scripture tells on that the guard came down and was going to kill himself because he thought they had escaped. He said, "Don't." And that night, he got saved. All because of songs in the night. Folks, I want to encourage you in the darkness as we come into Thanksgiving. Folks, you have much to be thankful for. I know sometimes we can't see that. Sometimes because of the darkness, we lose track of what we have and what God has done. But I pray that God will fill your heart with song. It's interesting. What does songs do? First of all, it turns our hearts to worship. Right? No matter where we are, we come into the presence with Him in song and we worship Him. Now, it was interesting. I was going down through, and I was like, I'm going to end up singing, and I apologize. I want some of you guys to sing along with me. The song says, "I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King. In what you hear, may it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear." Worship. We can just lift up our hearts and souls to Him and say, "Lord, I worship you." And it changes us. Some of you even smiled as I was coming across. And worship is good for the soul. It gets me off of myself and turns my focus upon Him. The Bible says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come into His presence with singing," to worship Him. It's interesting. Time and time again, we have pictures of heaven. And you know what they're doing around the throne? They're worshiping Him. Well, folks, if we're going to spend an eternity there, we might as well warm ourselves up to it and worship the Lord. Folks, having a song in your heart, it soothes your soul. King Saul had rebelled against God, and God gave a spirit that would torment him. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, it says this, "And so it was, whenever the spirit of God came upon Saul, and that David would take a harp and play it with his hands, and then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him." Folks, my soul sometimes gets so anxious in what's going around. And a song in my heart soothes the soul. In here, it stills me and focuses my attention. Folks, I encourage you, take the salve of song and apply it to your heart. In the songs in the night, you guys don't song. "Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hand has made,
I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Doesn't that feel good? We serve an awesome God. When I look around, I see this all. I know he's in control. All salve for the soul. It fills us with the Spirit. The Bible says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Then in here, as I surrender to that, and God takes over, and he changes my heart as I seek him out. And Lord, you can have your way in my life. It's like a couple renewing their wedding vows sometimes to remember. It's funny because we're in the car and we're driving up through Pennsylvania and we're playing some old songs. Old Petra. I don't know if you guys even know who that is, Petra. Old. But it takes us back, my wife and I, when we were in Bible school, and it just music has that way to transport us. And my daughter's in the back seat shaking her head because Cindy and I are singing at the top of our lungs, and she's just like, oh. That just, and as a dad, that just adds icing to the cake. I love singing to my daughter because she just tells me to stop. Dad! Ah. Especially like some of the old 80s stuff, because all the guys go real high and be like, ah! And she's like, Dad! But in this, it gets my heart back in tune with him. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. As we turn around and say, Lord, have your way, doesn't that? Lord, have your way. The Lord will make a way when there seems to be no way. And it's interesting because sometimes these even songs I learned as a little child is still in there. And in there, Lord, refresh me with your Spirit. You can say, well, I don't know what to sing. And we sang some this morning. And it doesn't have to be old hymns. It could be new. But in here, it's interesting. In Book of Revelation, we've been finishing up that book. And there's a line that we have the 144,000 witnesses who end up fulfilling their evangelistic duty, and they stand before God. And this is a verse that says, as they stand before God, it says, and they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, O Lord Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. It's interesting, he lists two things. And I just want to give this out there. The first one is the song of Moses. And this is the song when they crossed the Red Sea. God had delivered them. Right? And if we sing songs, we sing songs of deliverance, of what the Lord has brought us through. Right? God's been good to you. Amen. And he hasn't brought you this far to abandon you. He will see you through. The Bible says, "You are my hiding place, and you shall preserve me from my troubles. And you shall surround me with the songs of deliverance." Remember what the Lord has brought you through. And he talks about the song of the Lamb. This is of Jesus and what he did for you. The price he paid on the cross for you. This is a song of redemption. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And the last one, it's interesting. The Bible says time and time again that there's a new song. They sang a new song unto the Lord. And what's your song? What's the story of your life? If you think about that, what the Lord has brought you through, how he's been faithful, how he's changed you, how maybe you're not what you used to be. Revelation says this, and they sang as it were a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except for the 104,000 who were redeemed from the earth. I believe that God has put within us, each one of us, his song. And what God has done in my life is different from what he's done in yours. I'm a testament of his grace, how he's like to say, you know, if God can love me, loving you would be easy. If God can use me, how do I know God loves me? Look where he's brought me. Look what he's done for me. That's my song. And God is still using me to pen the song within my heart. Until that day I stand before him, his work is not done. How many of you guys know this little kid's song? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. You know what? I'm not what I'm going to be. But praise God, I'm not what I used to be. That new song I have within my heart. I can be a testimony, Lord. I want my song not to be about me, but about him. Folks, as we approach Thanksgiving, I apologize if this wasn't the message you thought. I believe I needed this reminder. That in the dark as the night, God gives a song. My Redeemer is faithful and true. What he promised, he said he will do. Every morning, his mercies are new. I feel so bad on Facebook because it's probably crashing right now because they can't hear you. All they hear is me. If this ends up on like AFV or something like that, I want half the cash. All right, that's all I ask. It was funny because as I was going through and looking at these things, I don't know what God you're doing. I don't know what he's doing. It's an old song. I don't even know if people know this anymore. But further along we'll know all about it. Further along we'll understand why
Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunlight. We'll understand it all by and by.
I'm glad God's in control. I'm glad He can be trusted. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, this season, help me be thankful for You. All You have done. Lord, if someone here is surrounded by darkness, Lord, I pray, like the light in their soul. Lord, we thank that You are a God who is faithful and gives us songs in the night to praise You, to exalt You, to worship You, to soothe our souls, to remind us of who we are, and declare our love and faithfulness to You, Lord. We ask these things in Your name. Amen.